Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talked to Hadi Faisal, who is the founder of the advocacy group More Transit Southern Ontario. As listeners familiar with the work of Guelph Politico are already aware, improved transit is a pretty big part of the mission here. And more often than not, when we're talking about transit, we're talking about Guelph Transit, capital G, Guelph Transit. But did you know that transit can take you to places outside of Guelph's urban boundaries too? This is somewhat tricky because regional transit, both to and from Guelph, is lacking, especially on the weekends, and we're not alone in this condition. The further you get from Toronto and its surrounding municipalities, the fewer transit options you have. And that's where Faisal and More Transit Southern Ontario want to make a difference, and that is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, before looking at the pan-regional picture, let's look at what we have here in Guelph when it comes to transit in and out of town, whether that is by bus or by train. First, you've got the Kitchener Line GO train, which runs east and west every 3 hours or so outside of rush hour, Monday to Friday. There are several GO bus routes, one that goes to Union Station via Halton Hills, Brampton, and Pearson Airport, and one that has drop-offs in Milton and Square One. And then there's a third that goes back and forth between Hamilton and Waterloo through Guelph. There is also Ridewell, which is essentially an Uber-type service run by Wellington County, and GOST, G-O-S-T, Guelph-Owen Sound Transit, which is run by the municipality of Owen Sound. All those options, save for the Union and Square One GO buses, don't run on the weekend. What's weird is that demand is clearly there, or should we say here, for more service. The Hamilton to Waterloo bus was an immediate success, and social media is littered with pictures of packed bus platforms at the Mount Pleasant GO station as people leave weekend trains that terminate at that station on the Kitchener line and then have to transfer to buses. GO is struggling to catch up with routes lost when Greyhound pulled out of Canada 3 years ago, but so much of their expansion efforts are focused on rail, and predominantly on rail in and around Toronto. Those of us who live at the far end of the Greater Toronto and Hamilton area and beyond continue to struggle, and we are often left to our own devices to fill the gaps, often with mixed to negative or, I guess you could say, never happened results. On top of that, so much transit advocacy is based on what's happening locally. No one's looking at the broader regional picture, at least until now. So on this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast, we're joined by Faisal, who tells us about the creation of More Transit Southern Ontario, what their goals are, and whether or not they think they're having an impact on the issue. We'll also talk about gaps in the regional transit picture, the difficulties of trying to pick your battles, and how trying to coordinate between the municipal transit systems is a big part of the problem. And finally, we will talk about building density around transit stations, why it's so hard to find private developers who will take that project on, and how we can get more people involved in the fight for more and better transit. So I caught up with Hadi Faisal last week via Zoom. Okay, Hadi Faisal, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
First, would you just mind talking a bit about your organization, More Transit Southern Ontario? Where are you guys coming from? And, what is the elevator pitch for your group?
So More Transit Southern Ontario is a group I founded last summer aiming to be a regional transportation voice for transit in the GTHA region. So there's a lot of local transit advocacy groups within the GTHA. There's TTC Riders, and in Guelph, there's Transit Action Alliance Guelph. Mm-hmm. But there's not really many people advocating for regional transit, if any at all, in a structured organization. So that includes intercity connections, GO Transit, fare integration, and all things like that. So the goal with More Transit Southern Ontario was to have an organization that would advocate for regional transportation goals.
Right. So we kind of know what you do, but why do you do it? Why was this something you wanted to take on?
So the main story behind starting More Transit Southern Ontario was actually a project I was personally involved with. So I'm from Durham region, and in Durham region, there's a high profile GO Train extension from Oshawa to Bowmanville that's being planned and is soon to start construction. And originally, they had a plan that would have been more suited to run two-way all-day GO Train service, but to save costs, a few years back they changed the plans. So I've been a vocal critic of those plans, and I want them to go back to their previous plans, as I believe that it will address the future growth and you'd be able to provide much better service with that infrastructure. And I've been trying to advocate for this as an individual, and I found that it's tough getting the attention as an individual, and if there was a large organization working towards the Bowmanville GO Train Extension project and advocating for a better design, I would likely be more successful. And there's many other projects in the GTHA. Recently, the Orangeville Brampton Railway at the end of 2021 got shut down, which is a passenger for formerly protected freight railway that supposed to be protected by the town of Orangeville, but it ended up getting shut down despite how it would be very easy to install a low-cost rail system on that line. So the goal for More Transit Southern Ontario is to be the voice for those sorts of projects when there haven't really been those voices historically.
That seems to be sort of like a repeating theme, is that there are these like big ideas that never kind of get realized or are like so far in the future that might as well not be realized in the first place. And I mean, it's especially weird. Like you mentioned the Brampton Orangeville Railway. I mean, the tracks are basically there, and there's a lot of that around Guelph too, where we kind of have tracks everywhere, not necessarily being used all day every day. But the infrastructure seems to be there, and for whatever reason, projects just can never seem to get going.
Yeah, for sure. One big reason for this is Metrolinx, the regional transportation agency, is very busy. They have a lot of projects ongoing, so they're not most willing to go and seek out these extra projects. So, for OBRAI in particular, the Orangeville Brampton Railway, they weren't eager to go out and preserve the corridor, and now what's happening is, I believe the city of Brampton or the region of Peel is preserving the corridor, and they're going to turn part of it into a trail.
Which is nice. Walking is nice, but having easy ways to get around is better. I want to kind of look at this from sort of like large overhead, sort of like pan regionally. I wrote down like what's like kind of like the big problem, but as we've started talking, I've started to rethink that a little. Part of the problem, and you can correct me if I'm wrong from your point of view, is that we have this agency that's supposed to be looking at like sort of these regional transit options, which is Metrolinx. But what we're talking about too, and when you mentioned, Metrolinx isn't seeking out additional projects, they have their own plan. The region is so big that you can't just have the one agency working on it too. So, we're kind of six of one, half dozen of the other.
I think you are spot on. I think that, for example, Guelph and Hamilton historically has never been connected via GO Bus until very recently. And that's an obvious connection, and Metrolinx didn't really pursue it until recently because they're mainly focused on Toronto and connections within Toronto, and they have a lot on their plate. So, if they had more resources, they definitely could have more of these projects that aren't as important. Well, they are important, but they
Right.
don't have as big a benefit as these Toronto projects, but they still have large benefits. The Kitchener, Waterloo, Guelph, and Hamilton combined population is over 1 million, so a bus connection just is obvious, and that would help a lot of people. And I'm glad they did do that recently.
Yeah, the other part of this too is I've only taken that bus one time and it was like on a Friday, but it was packed because it's Friday and so you have a lot of students moving back and forth, you know, from campus to home or whatever weekend activities they've got going on. But I mean that's a really great example of something that was sort of like years and years in the work in sort of like in desperate need. There used to be I think a Greyhound bus between Guelph and Hamilton. And that this was long before Greyhound pulled out of Canada that they stopped running it. But there are places like Guelph that kind of have huge gaps in regional networks. And you know, it's not necessarily we want the rail, although the rail would be nice, but you know, I think one of the things I get stymied on is like, isn't it just easy to like put a bus on a major highway that connects two municipalities, you know, is why is this apparently so hard?
Yeah. So I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to resources. Metro has a limited number of buses and drivers as well. And there's a lot of demand on some of these busy routes, like the 30 GO bus, which is overcrowded and is constantly leaving people behind on the weekends. So, for example, for the Route 17 GO bus, the one that goes between Kitchener, Guelph, and Hamilton. I've taken that once before, and this route didn't exist a year ago. But when I took it, it was leaving passengers behind. And Metrolinx recently announced that there's 1,400 people that take it daily, and it's only an hourly bus that isn't all that fast compared to driving. So there's so much demand on these corridors, but we just don't have the resources or the initiative right now to take on these projects.
Because typical business practices, business understanding, it's like if you build it and they come, you build some more. And that just doesn't seem to be the case when you're talking about, you mentioned the weekend service on the Kitchener line. And you know, you've been really good at posting the pictures of like thousands of people getting left behind on the platform in Mount Pleasant. The Hamilton to Waterloo bus that passes through Guelph. I mean, that ends at 8 o'clock at night. The last, but like, you know, there's no one who wants to go to Hamilton or Kitchener or Waterloo for, you know, a show or an event or an activity or something that might want to take advantage of that route. You know, it just seems like people are showing Metrolinx the demand, and then they don't have the capacity to answer it.
Yeah, for sure. If Metrolinx had more resources, I think there could be express buses that go between Kitchener, Guelph, and Hamilton, since the current route just takes quite a while. There could also be weekend service. I would have taken the route a few weeks ago, but since there's no weekend service, I had to divert and take a much longer route to travel between Hamilton and Kitchener. So there's clearly so much demand on these routes, and I'm kind of troubled to see that rail is sort of getting all the attention, and there's not that much focus being put on GO buses when I think that's a lot easier to improve and could be rolled out a lot quicker than most rail projects.
Is there a role for sort of the municipalities themselves here? Because I feel like just for me locally, sometimes I see our city council sort of say like, hey, you know, we kind of need more service for like U of G, and they send a letter to the Ministry of Transportation. But are we lacking like a constant pressure from our municipalities to sort of say, hey, you know, for moving our people around the region for economic development, you know, for, you know, taking congestion off our roads, like, you know, what should our municipalities sort of have a leadership role in petitioning more?
I definitely think that they should be vocal advocates for these projects because a lot of the time these problems can't be solved municipally and they rely on the province for these intercity connections. And I feel up until recently, there has been a bit more pressure from these municipalities, especially I feel Kitchener, Waterloo, and Guelph for weekend GO service and better connecting GO service. But I think municipalities need to be vocal advocates for regional transportation. And we've seen that a few weeks ago, the One Fare program got introduced by the province, which got transfers from GO, TTC, MyWay, DRT, Brampton Transit, and Mississauga Transit, all for free. And that's something that's been hurting riders for decades. And now finally, they're able to ride for one fare, which it should have been like that all along. And I think these municipalities need to be more outspoken because the province has shown that it's not afraid to spend large money on transit. This government is spending, I believe, $80 billion right now on transit over the next 10 years.
And some of that, of course, is, the Ontario line in downtown Toronto, obviously. And I want to get to that in a sec. You mentioned the one fare, which is I think that's great too, but I mean, here in Guelph, we're kind of left out of that. And it's not necessarily because I don't think the city of Guelph or Guelph riders don't want it. But if I'm just, as we're talking here, I'm trying to remember, we have a tap card fare system for our local transit system. I believe the Presto, which is the Metrolinx one, the GO one, I think they bid on the contract, but it was a bit too rich for the blood of our city government. It just seems like there are ways. In this instance, the governments could be making it easier just to work together in order to make it easier for people to get on GO Transit. Because right now, you go to Guelph Central Station, if you want to transfer, we have this kind of like Band-Aid solution where you tap your on your way card, which is the local Guelph card, on a certain pedestal, and you get the transfer, and you don't have to worry about tapping your Presto card or however it works. All of this stuff makes for a very impractical user experience, which actually probably dissuades a lot of people from taking transit as an option too.
For sure, I think Guelph and Kitchener, Waterloo in particular, not using the Presto fare card is a big loss for service and fare integration. And I believe that this Band-Aid solution would be like how all the other municipalities have it, where it's just you just tap your Presto card on your local transit and on your regional transit if Guelph and Kitchener, Waterloo had Presto. And the province definitely should have been more willing to have Guelph adopt Presto like they did on for the rest of the region. And even if that meant bearing the extra cost over the fare card that Guelph chose, that would have been worth it for the better integration and would have been better in the long run.
It's just easier, sort of, we're all kind of working off the same tech to have this kind of integration. One of the things I've sort of been following on your social is this kind of, I guess, development around sort of transit hubs, and there are different sort of developments that are happening, sort of meant to intensify residential development around certain hubs. This seems to be makes sense practically. The government is talking a lot about it, but it doesn't seem to be bearing much fruit in terms of when it comes to the execution. And maybe you can talk a bit about this Mimico development that has failed twice in the last 10 years, if I got that right.
Yes, so the Mimico development was one I was really looking forward to. It would have brought thousands of housing and a really nice station to Mimico Go, which really needs some upgrades right now. The station is even accessible. So it's unfortunate that the developer went, I believe, I'm not exactly sure on the details, but now that the project is canceled, I think there's definitely a case for Metrolinx developing their own development arm where they can build their own transit where they don't have to do rely on private developers, because their system right now is to try to get private developers to use their land and fund station upgrades and station construction. And a lot of the time, for example, for the Confederation Go station in Hamilton, that project got delayed because they couldn't get a private partner to do a development. And in the case of Mimico, you saw that twice now the private developer has had issues, and now the site is a big hole in the ground. The station still needs accessibility upgrades, and I think that it would be better if Metrolinx was just building the housing themselves, and now they have over 15,000 units, I believe, 10 to 15,000 proposed near the Ontario line on top of their stations, and they on selling these development proposals to the private sector, and I think it would just be a lot more efficient if Metrolinx did the construction themselves, because they have a lot of projects, they have a lot of land, and I think they should actively be seeking land to try to develop, because housing and transit go hand in hand. It can fund transit construction and operations, and that housing also boosts transit ridership.
I wonder if there's a way that that deal can be sweetened too, because I'm again just thinking about our own experience here with Guelph. We have a lot of developers who don't want to fund parking because parking, building parking space is expensive. Like here, it's like, I think, I don't know if this number is correct off the top of my head, but it feels right, like $55,000 per space. And so, would it not be sort of more attractive to developers? And I'm not sure what kind of insight you have into this. Like, is it not more attractive to have a development where you're like literally building on top of a transit station? Like, is building like the most fabulous transit station in the region probably a better deal financially than building a 200 parking spot car park?
For sure. I've heard numbers as high as $100,000 per parking space from some developers, and I think the opportunity to build a low or no parking development is enticing, but I can't say that I'm the most knowledgeable about this, but I've heard that there are reasons why the private sector is wary of getting involved in these Metrolinx projects, and that's due to various factors, not entirely because of Metrolinx and their work, but I can't say that I'm the most knowledgeable on this issue, and it's something I definitely have to research more. But yeah, for reasons, whatever reason, the private sector isn't the most keen on jumping in on these projects.
I think part of the thing is, and maybe this, appreciating we're kind of in speculation territory here, but I do wonder how much of this is because of the apparent, I know that this lingering idea that transit stations are kind of seedy places and it's, where seedy people hang out all hours of the day. And I did, not to keep referring back to your social media, but I did see a recent post you're talking about one like GO station where the amenities there are like three benches and a vending machine. And I was at the Brampton station last weekend, and it's in the Brampton Innovation District. It's literally listed on the GO. You're in the Brampton Innovation District. And I don't think that station's been upgraded since the last time I was there, probably 15 years ago. I mean, the innovation is kind of lacking.
So, to touch on that station, I believe it is planned to get some upgrades. The city is planning on building a new bus terminal, and Metrolinx is planning to build a third track through that area to run more service, and I with that more station upgrades will come.
Okay.
And since this area is going to be heavily densifying in the near future, I'd like to see a nice high quality station there.
Oh, me too, for sure. But getting back to this question, I guess it just it I do wonder if that has an effect. Like I'm thinking about the old Bay Station, Bay Street Station in Toronto, where the literally pigeons flying in the rafters. This sort of like an outdated idea that, I guess transit terminals are symptoms of urban decay. I wonder how much of that is prevalent in sort of the developers' thinking as well.
I don't think that is much of an issue since developers aren't afraid to propose massive developments near transit. We see it all across the GTHA. It's just for these Metrolinx projects where one example is these Ontario Line transit-oriented communities that Metrolinx is preparing right now. So Metrolinx, for most of these, they're developing the proposals now. But they say that construction won't be able to start until 2031 or 2032 when the Ontario Line finishes. And if you're looking at that, a lot can change in 8 years. In the past 8 years, I believe housing construction costs have nearly doubled. So if you buy into that project now, in 8 years, you might have to completely revamp it because the economics don't work out. So that's something that is definitely would definitely turn developers away from these projects.
They want kind of like shovel-ready stuff, which is why, sort of green field developments get going faster than infill. The other kind of piece of this too is that, at least from my point of view, it feels like we're playing catch up all the time on this. We're not really leading. We're skating to where the puck was 5 minutes ago instead of skating to where the puck is going to be, to borrow that cliche. Is that having like an impact on this? It's like we're either, we're talking about some of these development projects that are like 8, 10 years out, but at the same time, you got to make those plans ahead of time. Otherwise, you're lagging and trains are full and people are grouchy because you're crammed in like a sardine on some streetcar or some subway car or some bus. It just feels like there's some kind of friction between a lot of these timelines.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's very interesting that Metrolinx is developing these Ontario Line transit-oriented communities specifically, this far in advance of when they're actually meant to get built. And I think that it's good to plan in advance, but at a certain point, the economics in that large of a time can completely change, and the housing needs of an area could completely change. And I think that it would be smarter to maybe wait a couple years, even though that's not ideally the best solution. But when the construction isn't starting, it's planned to start for 8 years, and you want to get this project out to developers, it might be better to, instead of wasting the money right now and having to redesign it in a few years and spending more money, you just design it later on. And another thing I want to touch on is that Metrolinx seems to not want to build on top of some of these stations. For example, at the Queen and Spadina station for the Ontario Line, until the Ontario Line is complete, which is odd because in Vancouver, there's a station on the Broadway subway extension, which is a ex subway extension that's currently being built. And they also have one station that has a 40-story development on top, and that's actually being built on top of the station right now as we speak. And that development is actually going to open a few months or even a year before the actual subway is open. So I'm confused why we aren't planning to build the housing with the station for some of these
Yeah.
stations.
The Queen Spadina one confuses me too, because I mean, it's not like that's a desolate area that's waiting for the transit traffic. You know, it's, you know, you turn left and walk up the street and you're in Chinatown.
Yeah, for sure. It sometimes, if the area doesn't have transit, it makes sense to maybe wait a little, but that's not really the most transit-starved area. And if the
Yeah.
development does get ready a few years in advance, and the Ontario line has an Eglinton Crosstown type issue where the major construction work is complete, but defects and issues alike is delaying the projects multiple years, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, and
Yeah.
it would be a big benefit over having to turn the station into a construction zone for 5 years after the Ontario line is complete to actually build the development on top.
Yeah, no, that one is peculiar to me. Why you, that doesn't seem very attractive, but I mean, I guess what I'm trying to figure out here is like what's the path forward? I mean, we've laid out a lot of issues. You know, we've laid out some of our thoughts about sort of the practicality of solutions. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, what will it take to sort of break this log jam, you think? You know, is it just like keeping up the protests, keeping up the hitting them on the socials, posting those pictures of people being left on subway and train platforms, and you know, is it the public pressure campaign, or I mean, what else is you know, can be done, do you think?
I think the public pressure is a huge thing, and as more transit Southern Ontario, a goal that we have is to boost these voices so when someone gets left behind by a bus at Bramalea Go, for example, trying to go to Kitchener, we want to boost those voices and have a lot of people who share that experience also raise their concerns because you see it for NIMBYs who oppose Not In My Backyard, some transit projects, a few, like maybe 20 or 30 vocal residents can completely change a project. And if you have that going the other way, advocating for transit, you can change transit for the better. And that's just the way I like to see it and how I want to go about things to try to improve and advocate over the next few years.
Do you feel like you and your group has been having that impact? You know, you've been going at this for a year. Have you seen a difference?
So far, I can't really say that we've had the most visible differences. We've made the most visible differences. We've got involved in some successful campaigns. We've shared our voices. We've tried to boost service, get more housing built at specific sites. But I feel that the first year was mainly trying to build up our audience, build up our base. So we have people who can, for example, do surveys and voice their support. So we have a large following that, when we really start to get things going in the next couple months, can really advocate for projects because there's a lot of projects in the GTHA that need advocating for. There's probably over 100, and we need lots of people who can advocate for this stuff. So I think building that foundational base is crucial. And now, since we're starting to get that, I think we can really start to do some big things over in the next coming months.
All right. Well, then that's something to look forward to then. Certainly, I've been hearing your voice, and I'm glad to see somebody sort of taking this on, taking this advocacy work on for looking at things from a regional level. So I really appreciate our conversation today, Hadi. Thank you so much for all your time, and best of luck. Keeping the pressure on. We need you.
Thank you once again. Thanks for having me on, and I hope you have a good afternoon.
And once again, that was Hadi Faisal. You can learn more about More Transit Southern Ontario at their website, moretransit.ca, or by following them on More Transit SO on Twitter and YouTube. In terms of local regional transit expansion, there is not coincidentally an open house for the business case to build a rail line connecting Union Station and Cambridge through Guelph, and that's on Thursday, March 21st, so next Thursday, from 6 to 8 p.m. at City Hall. There is going to be a virtual meeting if you can't make it to the in-person one on Tuesday, March 19th. You can get information about all of this at engagewr.ca. And that is it for this week's show. We hope you liked it. You can download the Guelph Politicast every Wednesday from Apple, Google, TuneIn, and Spotify. And when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. You can follow Guelph Politico on social media at Guelph Politico on Twitter and at Politico Guelph on Facebook. You can follow me personally at Adam A. Donaldson on Twitter and Instagram, or send me an email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com if you'd like to help financially support the work of Guelph Politico. You can get all that information at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And finally, for all the latest local political news, you can check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of this show for you this time next week. And until then, see you next time.